Welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio. I got all tangled up here with the cords on my headset and jerked it out of my head and everything else. So hopefully I got this all straightened out and we're ready to go. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Welcome, everybody, to the show. I hope everybody had a great Independence Day program, enjoyed it. I and my wife participated in Charles Heller's program at the University Marriott, situated at 880 East 2nd Street, I believe, viewing the program or the movie of Rocketeer. I thought that movie was fairly interesting. It brought a lot of things back to my heart in a sentimental aspect, seeing the airplanes fly and so on and so forth. So I was rather enlightened and very joyous in watching the movie, as well as one of the TV programs that showed the activities of all the flying equipment that was associated with the Independence Day on behalf of the governmental entities and all the equipment that we had to offer that was airborne. I especially enjoyed looking at the Stealth 2 bomber, a tremendous piece of equipment from that standpoint. I do remember during my years of flying, as an example, that had accomplished many intercepts on the B-58, which was a highly proficient supersonic bomber that was built of years past. And I can say that when we locked on to try to fire weapons at them in a training type of environment, that if you found them on your scope, you better latch on right away, because in no time at all, he was gone, flying at the high speeds that they did at high altitude. Very interesting, very efficient in trying to utilize equipment to take care and secure our skies throughout the world. Hey, Handyman's Haven, we're located at 1724 South 6th Avenue in Tucson. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street, as we always say, the big yellow building. That building has been very prominent in its coloring scheme. I do have to thank my marketing director of years past for coming up with the idea, as much as I question the brightness of it, but it has been attractive. The number of people that come in and say, well, I've seen the building here, and I had to stop in and take a look to see what you have going on. So the invitation is open to each of you to come on down. We'll give you a walk through the building, show you all the things that we have, the storage facilities, as well as our 4,000-square-foot mill shop where we do heavy modifications of cabinetry, build up our countertops for our customers, and get everything ready to go for the cabinetry that are purchased to make you, the commercial installation, the residential installation, as efficient as we possibly can. So we appreciate that very much. We have a Green Valley location located in the northern end of Green Valley on the west side of I-19. It's at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, a Suite 105 Alpha. Take the Duval Mine exit, weave to the west, immediately get onto the frontage road. You'll have to keep bearing to the left as that occurs, and then proceed to southbound down to the Duval Mine Road exits and locate Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number on location in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. If you're writing these things down right now, the Tucson location phone number is 520-624-7200. Some things that have occurred this past week, I think we may have talked about some of these in the past, but they keep cropping up when homeowners come in because they've been designated as the purchaser of the equipment that they need or the materials that they need to complete their project. It's rather interesting that rarely we see the contractors that are going to accomplish the projects. The homeowner is coming in explaining what they believe they should have, and then they take that back home and after they purchase the materials and try to get it installed with their contractor. There are differences of opinions throughout. You could probably ask every contractor how to do something, or every designer or architect or draftsman, and we all have our ways specifically accomplishing the project. But one thing that we try to maintain at A. Handyman's Haven is how to provide the customer with the materials that they need to accomplish what they want to accomplish, being sensitive at all time periods to the cost of the project. And we have talked a little bit, or I have talked a little bit about that in the past, which reminds me at the present time, if you'd like to enter the conversation today, I would truly appreciate it. You can give us a call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. Any information or contribution would be welcome throughout this program for the next hour. So a lot of the things that we've had occur this past week has had to do with plumbing, as an example, and the cabinetry that was selected and what's available in the home. And as a result of that, the one situation is that the plumbing came out of the wall, and for some reason, it was felt that minimize the amount of holes that may needed to be provided in the back of the cabinetry in order to acquire the plumbing to come through. It could have come up from the floor, as an example, into the cabinetry, and it wasn't that far away from the wall to accomplish that. It was desirable not to penetrate the wall structure in order to try to move the plumbing on the inside of the wall, the 2x6 walls, from that standpoint. That does become more difficult to accomplish, more costly to accomplish, especially if you have a venting situation that may be in an area that may not be desirable for what you want to accomplish. A venting system is very critical. Most of them extend up from the drain system through the roof structure itself as it goes up through the wall, and there is a vent pipe lid, so to speak, on the top of the pipe as the sewer gases that come up from your septic tank, leaching field type sewers, or from the commercial entities that are provided by the governmental entity that functions for the drainage system itself. So we try to prevent those gases from coming back in, and the venting system is very, very critical. Most of the venting systems are perpendicular or they're vertical. You can put in horizontal venting systems, but there are special requirements for horizontal venting systems from that standpoint. Well, the contractor that was doing the work for this project says, oh, it's really simple to handle because the pipes are exposed on the outside of the basic wall. We do not have to go into the wall in order to accomplish that. And as a result, his suggestion was to build what we call a mini pony wall to accomplish the housing of the equipment, which moves the cabinets further away from the existing wall, about 4 inches away when you encase it in drywall. So that was accomplished. It was done very fast and efficient, and it worked extremely well. So there are lots of ways of accomplishing items of this nature and minimizing the cost and getting them in and out as fast as they can. The contractor that was utilized for this project, installing about 6-7 cabinets, modifying them in order to get them to fit, as well as hanging some wall cabinets and a linen closet, was in and out of the project in about 3 hours. Very efficient, very fast. He knows what he's doing, and is excellent from that standpoint. And they were the owner couldn't believe when he checked what time he arrived, and so on and so forth. Not only did he pick up the cabinets from our store and headed out to the project, it took about an hour to get the cabinets loaded in onto the project, and about another 3 hours in order to complete the installation, as well as building the pony wall. Looks very nice. The countertop will end up becoming a little bit challenging because the norm, as an example, or the typical aspect of it is that the vanity cabinets are normally 21 inches front to back, or deep as we call it. In this case, we used regular 34.5-inch tall cabinets, which are similar to what's used in the kitchen area or for various other aspects around. Today, those types of cabinets may be considered adult cabinets or executive height cabinets or tall cabinets or whatever you want to use for a term. In years past, the typical height of vanity cabinets were in the vicinity of 30 inches above the floor. So that was one item that came up this past week, easily solved from that standpoint in that process. Well, we come across the first segment of our program. We're going to have John Couch, our production engineer over there, take us away. And folks, we'll see you after the break. And welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice of A. Handy Man's Haven, transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We've been discussing, or I've been discussing with the listening audience today, some plumbing incidents that have occurred that get rather confusing to customers that come down and are interested in purchasing product to assist them in their remodeling of the bathroom situations especially. So the second one I like to talk about is the customers came in and they're moving into a home that was actually from their mother and father, and they need to modify one of the bathrooms in the home to make it more functional and more desirable. So in a process, they sink on a 54-inch, 55-inch wide area, was on the left side, with the toilet or water closet also situated on the left side. So that's easily accomplished, but with the sink being on the left side, that does not leave very much countertop on the left side of the sink, and the tendency is that things are going to get knocked off and fall down. If you leave your toilet lid open, as an example, there is a high probability that whatever you knock off is going to end up in the middle of the toilet, and you'll have to extract it from the water basin of the toilet itself. Why do I know about this? Well, this happens in our house. Even though we have a wide countertop on most of the areas that that occurs, but you know, when your hands are flying and things are moving and who knows what's going to go where, and with the lid up on the toilet instead of being closed, it could very well get knocked into it. Hopefully it doesn't get flushed down the drain and create some other difficulties from that standpoint. So older homes are more susceptible of this condition because the codes may not have been adhered to since they were non-existent as far as older homes go. Today's existence of codes does have certain restrictions, and it may or may not require a permit to accomplish some of the items that you may need to accomplish. So therefore, there's no inspection involved in order to ensure that you have it accomplished. But anyway, the contractor had indicated that this is the way it needed to be. We need to have it in this location because it's too difficult to plumb to it. We're not going to be opening up the walls in order to try to move the plumbing in the walls. So you can't put the sink except in any other location but the one that you have at the present time. Well, very nicely and judiciously, I was able to indicate to the customer the aspects of the thing. You need to plumb to the plumbing that's there and not worry about moving the plumbing. So what that may entail is moving through the left or right area of your cabinetry in order to accomplish that. And most sink-based cabinets, whether in the kitchen or they happen to be in the water closet area or the vanity or bathrooms, as we call them, are open from left to right to complete width, such as a 36-inch cabinet. We do have these down at our store. A 36-inch cabinet may be open from left to right. Sometimes there may be drawer units on the right side or on the left side. So depending upon where your plumbing is, we have lots of options available. And instead of looking for a wide cabinet that is going to encompass the entire 54 inches and lose a lot of other items that may be important, and where are you going to put your drawer units, and et cetera, if you do happen to want some drawers. So there are ways that we can accomplish the system. So through many points of discussion, I was able to indicate to them and show them how they can maneuver this, have drawer units on both sides, and move the sink more towards the center of the cabinetry without interfering with anything. There are times, though, when the plumbing system itself may be involved with or being in conflict with the drawer unit. And one easy solution to that is that the drawer unit that it becomes in conflict with, it's not going to be every drawer unit, as an example, and the main conflict is going to be the drain system itself. So what one can do is buy the drawer units, don't be too concerned about it, and we may have to lose that drawer unit, partially at least, but the drawer box itself can be cut back in depth. So instead of being, say, 19 inches or 22 inches in depth, that's front to back, it may only be about 15 inches in depth, depending upon what the drain system is doing. The drain system may be altered to the extent that the pipe that comes out of the wall is too long, because a lot of times those pipes will come out and be in the center of the cabinet at certain locations, because that's the way it was piped and somebody decided not to cut it. And then you have the P-trap as an example, which maybe ought to be called a J-trap because it doesn't quite look like a P. I don't know what the P really stands for in that case, but the trap that is basically a water lock, and it's a water lock because you don't want the sewer gases to come up from the sewerage system and impregnate themselves within the home, and especially the bathroom, let alone a lot of that could be methane gas from that standpoint, and that is very undesirable. So, and try to finish with this, you can cut the cabinet box back and just put a new back on the back of the cabinet box itself, run the same guide systems and everything else, and everything is fine. I see we do have a caller, and Charles, welcome to the show.
Maurice, I'm listening to this fascinating story about where to locate the sink in relation to the plumbing, and I'm thinking of the magnificent opportunity for you as a designer of plumbing fixtures to patent the Cerrone drawer drain.
The Cerrone door drain.
Drawer drain. It'll revolutionize bathroom fixtures.
Yeah, we'll have to make the drawer drain fixed, I guess, so the box doesn't move in and out, to simplify it. But yeah, that could be done. Absolutely.
If anybody can do it, Maurice, you can do it.
Well, you know, we do have cabinets down at the store that are vanity cabinets, and they're specifically designed to maximize the efficiency of the cabinetry, whereby the drawer itself is a two-part drawer, where there is a right wing to the drawer and there's a left wing to the drawer, and it may be only about 6 or 7 inches wide, left or right, and that slides on the left and right side of the sink, and the drain is in the center, and then the second drawer down, as an example, which is full width of the cabinetry,
Because it's underneath the drain.
Yeah, it's underneath the drain, and it even spans the drain. And then the box, the center portion of it is cut down where it may not be 19 inches deep, but it may be only 6 or 7 inches deep. This does afford, a very efficient operation from that standpoint. Right. The other item that's available, Charles, is what we call tip-out trays.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea because those don't take up much room.
No, they don't. They sit right there where the sink basin is. And you flip it out, and you can keep combs in there, toothbrushes, toothpaste, anything that's longitudinally its fixture itself. And it's easy to get to, so it's occupying that space, and you don't have to provide for separations in your regular drawers to have that be functional. So there's lots of ways of doing these things. And Many customers are not aware of this when they come in, but when they leave, we surely try to educate them as best as we can to allow them to understand how they can improve the efficiency of their cabinetry.
Right. Well, I hope they'll come into your store and ask for the Cerrone drawer drain.
There you go, Cerrone drawer drain. I'll have to work on that a little bit. So.
Okay, see you.
Nice thought. Appreciate that very much, Charles. So one has to be careful, and I think a couple of weeks ago, I also talked about the customer that came into the store and their contractor gave him a $600 allocation to build out their, I think it was about an 8-foot cabinetry system, new tile on the floor and a new countertop and a sink for $600. And I found that extremely outlandish of that sort of thing. And they were trying to hold to that $600 restriction. And I think we're probably about the third or fourth or fifth store that they've been to, trying to locate what they're trying to accomplish. And I was just really upfront with him. I says, there's no way you're going to accomplish all that on $600. And I really don't know the reason why, on behalf of the contractor, he gave you an allocation of that sort. The allocation is really what you want to do as a customer. It is a good idea to find out what all these things are going to cost, and then you can move that up or down depending upon what you would like to have. I did go in on this last example that I was discussing, and I pulled up our most affordable cabinet line and the cabinets that they needed to accomplish their vanity system that they were going to work with was only going to cost $900 just for the cabinetry. That did not include the installation, did not include the countertop, did not include the sink, did not include the plumbing, and everything else involved. So those are some of the things that do occur. And I really enjoy sharing those with you because if you're going to get involved with items of that nature, one does have to be aware of what needs to take place. So come on down to A Handyman's Haven. We're coming upon the end of our second segment here on AM 1030 The Voice with trusted local news and talk. And folks, we'll see you after break. There he is, folks. John just gave me the big clue, cue. We're back on the air on AM 1030 The Voice with trusted local news and talk in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. Our phone number is 520-624-7200. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha, west of I-19 off of the Duval Mine Road situation. Phone number on location in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. We've been talking a little bit about, or I've been discussing a little bit about plumbing situations, trying to interfere with the cabinetry and sink placements of a vanity system for customers. I did talk a little bit about the P-trap situation. Typically speaking, plumbers will put the P-trap straight down from the drain in the sink, regardless of where it is, and it really clouds up, so to speak, the center of the cabinetry, and it also puts it in such a position that where you could knock it around periodically with whatever you put in there. If you do use a rollout tray in the bottom of your sink base, whatever you put in that rollout tray is going to have to bypass the P-trap as it drops down from the center of the sink. I did mention that where you could do a 90-degree L coming right off the bottom of the sink and head to the back wall and then drop the P-trap up against the back wall itself and then go into the drain. The other thing that's available is what's called a bottle P-trap. So by going online, you could look up the bottle P-trap, and it does come right off the bottom of the sink as an example. It extends down about 3 or 4 or 5 inches, somewhere in that area, depending upon which model you purchased. And then it heads to the back wall. And it's called a bottle P-trap because the largest portion of the drain system that drops down 3 or 4 inches or 5 inches or so is the P-trap, and it does hold water. and prevents that water lock, that so the gases do not come back into the home, especially the methane portions of the gas, which can be rather disastrous in various aspects. If you have methane gas floating around, hopefully you'll be able to smell it. And if you happen to be a smoker, I would be very, very careful because it's highly inflammable. And gases of that nature are not good in any portion of the home from that standpoint. So keep that in mind when you are starting to remodel your bathroom systems or your kitchen areas and taking care of things like that. I'd just like to mention a little bit about it. The Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice voting award system will be coming upon us shortly. A. Henny Manshaven will be listed as one of the companies in the category of the best cabinets, and countertops available. We have been recipient of that award in the past 2 years, and I really appreciate it and thank each and every one of you that voted for us. And shortly, in the next program or so, I'll have more information on how you can vote. You'll be able to vote more than once per day and often, as we say, from that standpoint, with the various platforms you may have available. I like to talk a little bit about laminate countertops again at this standpoint, but I do see we have a caller. Ingrid, welcome to the show. How's everything going for you today?
Oh, hello. Are we on air?
Yes, we are on the air, ma'am.
I'd like to say that the movie that we saw Thursday was wonderful. And I'm sorry that everybody couldn't have seen it. But are you going to be involved in any way in the remodeling of the Marriott Hotel?
No, ma'am, I'm not involved in that at all. A lot of times the furniture that is required, if that was the furniture that they need, are items that we don't carry. Yes, they could use various portions of cabinetry that would work, and we can get the very, very appropriate design ones from that standpoint. But that would require, in our case, not only do they are interested in an entity providing the cabinetry and things of that nature, but they also require the installation. And at the present time, we do not have the licenses at A. Henny Manshaven to install within the city limits of the Tucson of Arizona.
Oh, well, they're doing the rooms now, the individual rooms.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's a beautiful building, and they say, well, it's outdated, but they've got these lovely ceiling fixtures and other details, and it's a shame that it's all going to go. And I was just wondering, you know, if you were going to be involved in any way. But it was a great show. I heard you say that you enjoyed it too.
Oh yes, so, I did enjoy it very much, since I am an aviator of some 40 years of flying airplanes and various other aspects of being airborne. That was a dream of mine at about 5 or 6 years old.
Really? Well, yeah. We learn something new every day. I missed a whole lot of your program because of phone calls and texts and stuff like that. But I did hear that you did fly, and that's so wonderful to know. You're multi-talented.
Yeah, I do have a few talents when it comes to that. I can even juggle too at time periods, let alone juggle those things in my life. Ping pong balls in a windstorm are a little difficult. I haven't mastered that aspect of it yet.
Try to balance a broom on your chin.
I don't know whether I could handle that today or not. I'd be doing good to stand up from that standpoint.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure having you call in today. We used to live at the 4400 block of East Pima Avenue, or Pima Street as it's called, and the B-29s used to fly over our house at time periods, and I don't know why I developed a love for flying, but I thought that was an interesting aspect, and throughout my entire educational career in various aspects. It was really a challenge to be qualified and selected to fly airplanes. I initially started out with the Air National Guard as an aircraft mechanic, and found out in short order when I returned from Air Aviation Mechanic School out of Amarillo, Texas, that they were selecting six individuals to go to aviation cadets and provide the pilot experience needed to come back to the Air National Guard and fly. The interesting thing about that is that whatever the airplane that the Air National Guard had at the time period was the airplane that you would be sent to advance flight school and learn how to fly it. And at that juncture, it was the F-100 built by the North American Aviation Company out of Los Angeles, California. The F-100 was the first supersonic airplane that was designed and built, capable of carrying a nuclear weapon. And all those things and information that we needed were at Luke Air Force Base on the west side of Phoenix that trained us in that environment. So very successful. I'm not going to tell you it was an easy road, but there was its challenges and pitfalls along the way. But with tenacity and creativity and ingenuity or whatever else you want to call it, I was successful and become a military aviator, as well as many other aspects of my life in aviation. So getting back to this situation, we're talking about laminate countertops. You can come down to A. Handyman's Haven. You can purchase a 10-foot length of laminate countertop for $90. All straight cuts are complimentary. And if you want to have certain other buildup activities provided for you, such as the miter cuts, we can do that for an upcharge, as well as we can finish the ends of the countertops so water doesn't damage them, and we can accomplish that for you also. So you can leave the store, as an example, with a complete countertop ready to install, all the appropriate cuts made. All straight cuts, again, are included in the initial cutting of the countertop. So a 10-foot countertop for $90, and you can finish it off yourself, take it home, and install it. Far less than any natural stone. And what I mean by natural stones, it may be soapstone, it may be travertine, it may be marble, or slate. And of course, the most prevalent one that we know about is granite, which is used quite regularly. The square footage of granite, as an example, may start in the vicinity of $40, $45 a square foot, completely measured, templated, and installed, and all holes cut that are required to put your sinks in, as well as your faucet systems. So anyway, laminate countertops, even with the photographic imaging that Formica and Wilson are accomplished, and to make it look like a granite or various aspects of quartz. And from 10 feet away, folks, you're not able to distinguish the difference between laminate or the natural stone. It's a rather unique feature that is available today with our technology. So keep that in mind. Stainless steel sinks at A. Handyman's Haven, we have them for $88, and they're about 8 inches deep. 50-50 sinks, so in other words, each bowl is of the same size. We have special strainers available for $15 that do not require caulking, that have its own sealing mechanisms, and that strainer system can be installed prior to installation of the sink. We also have undermount sinks available for bathrooms as well as the kitchen areas. We do have some vessel sinks available, and these happen to be rectangular in nature. So keep us in the forefront of your project. We've got lots of things available, as well as moldings and things of that nature. We just had a customer come in this past week and bought close to 1,000 feet of molding, and we can get that in about a week with many, many designs that are available. Well, we've come to the end of our third segment here. It's been enlightening being with you today. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. And John, get us set up for our last segment. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the A&E Man's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030 The Frequency with The Voice. trusted local news and talk. So we've been finishing up on various aspects of our discussion today. We just had a advertisement on from the solar store and brought up the question right away that I'd like to discuss is where do we get our power to drive the various aspects that we need? Most people know that we're on the electrical grid, and in the state of Arizona, at least, we do have a power plant situated in Tucson itself, Tucson Electric Power. They've had various energy sources. What most people don't know is that the energy utilized to produce the system, and I'm going to say the system in this case, that generates electrical power are various aspects. Such energy, it can be oil, it can be coal, it could be natural gas, and things of that nature that actually drive a system that produces steam. And then this steam, or and most of us know about steam, you put a pot of hot water on your stove at home and it starts boiling and you see the steam rising. Well, that steam is harnessed. It's driven through a turbine system, just like a jet engine as an example. And if you want to consider the turbine-powered generator, that's what it really is. So the airflow, in this case it's steam, is put into the steam turbine. The turbine itself rotates at a relative speed, whereby there is a generator, just like the generator or alternator on your automobile, that produces electricity, which is harnessed and then put through a grid work that is distributed throughout the city of Tucson. So I believe right now that the Tucson Electric Power is using natural gas. If that is not the case, if somebody would like to call in, let me know what power source they are using to drive their generators. So that's one way that we get power. The other way that's coming up quite common, and there are some activities associated with that, is the solar system itself. There's wind-driven systems, of which we see advertised or informed at least quite regularly on television. Many people have driven past big wind generation systems. If you drive from Tucson to Albuquerque, as an example, and you get off at Deming and head on up towards a hatch, and then pick up I-25 to go north, along that highway between Deming and Hatch, you'll come across a big wind tower generation system. And so that's another way that we gather electricity. They use coal. There are common systems in the northern portion of the state, which are hydroelectric power. And hydro indicates to us how the generators are driven. So therefore, as water falls from the height of the lakes, such as Lake Mead, Lake Powell, that water, as it descends down through a series of piping arrangements, powers a jet engine that's vertically, so to speak, spins the big compressor sections, and with generators attached to the bottom of it, produces electricity, which then goes into the grid, and we all feast on that. Now, most of these grids, the Navajo Power Plant and the one at Lake Mead in the vicinity of Las Vegas, are all tied together because there are various failures that are occurring at time periods, and none of us really know about these interruptions, so to speak. Maybe they don't call them failures, but the interruptions. And the rest of the country picks up the power system because they're interrelated, and we really don't know in many time periods where our electricity is actually coming from, depending upon maintenance, preventative maintenance, and things of that nature throughout the country. We have heard at time periods of various power systems going down or becoming inoperative, and that has created some major problems. Most of the power systems today are also not only electronically driven through Wi-Fi systems or the web or various other hopefully secure sites, but that is a situation that can be of major concern as we move throughout our technology section that we're in at the present time. And believe me, I think there are probably certain countries in this global environment that we are in that are very much after us to try to disrupt the activities of the United States of America and cause them major harnessings from that standpoint. And maybe in a future show I'll get involved in some ways that we can try to protect ourselves to a certain extent to harness the power that we may need to operate. So power systems come from various sources. Solar is very, very important. I'd like to just touch a little bit on solar, and you may want to call the solar store in order to discuss with them, which is situated on Country Club, just north of Grant, or just north of Glenn, as a matter of fact. But there is a federal tax credit that's available for going solar, and solar-generated power can be used for most anything you want. And one of the major challenges that we have in our environment is, can we store the electricity that is derived from solar power? Battery systems are becoming more and more important these days. The technology is improving tremendously, and this may be the way of trying to solar it. But there also is a major federal tax break. And in order to obtain this tax break, it's twofold. Not only do you have to install solar on your home to generate electricity, but in order to gain the benefit of the tax break, you have to be of such a such of earnings that you are paying taxes. If you don't pay taxes, then you can't take the tax break. So this is not to say that you shouldn't pay taxes, but if you are in an environment of paying a lot of taxes, then providing solar power and obtaining that tax break is very, very important. Presently, under the present law, which is going to expire at the end of 2019, the federal tax break is about 30% of the cost of the installation of your solar power. Be it rooftop solar or be it any sort of voltaic system that may come about as a result of that. At starting in January 1 of 2020, my understanding is that it will be reduced from 30% down to 26%. And then starting in 2021, it's going to be reduced to 22% of the installation of taxes or in the installation of your voltaic system. And guess what's going to happen between now and 2021? The cost of installing solar due to the cost of materials and everything is going to go higher from that standpoint. And eventually, it is scheduled to disappear entirely sometime after 2021. Again, the solar store would be an excellent place to find out the information. I do know the owner of the solar store with is Catherine Kent, a highly experienced. She is an engineer. She understands the exact provision of solar and how effective and efficient it can be. As battery power becomes more successful in harnessing the battery power and smaller in nature so you can store it, you may be able to store your battery power itself and have it be able to operate in the hours that where the sun is not available. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is you may want to purchase a diesel power generation system whereby it will start when your power source drops to a certain level. And, of course, the generator itself that you purchased can harness the power and store it in a battery system that you may want to select, and you may be able to pull yourself entirely off the grid itself and just go independent with solar, a battery backup, and then a diesel generator or any sort of generator that can power that for you. So keep that in mind as time goes on. I do want to share a little bit about an incident that occurred with an email I received. I have a couple of minutes left, but this will dovetail right into Jeff Prather that's coming on with the Prather Point after my show. And this is the email I received today. An individual in the, I'm on this network as an example, it's called the Neighborhood Network. And so somebody published on there and the email came out to my location, so to speak, and they were really very, very upset in that the military activity level that occurred in Washington, D.C. on July 4th delayed the pickup of the garbage in our area. And that sort of laughed and chuckled at that to a certain extent. It's been for years since I've had garbage picked up at my home, and every time they have a holiday, the garbage is delayed one day. But this individual was blaming the Washington, D.C. area for having a major display of weaponry, military weaponry in celebration of the independence of our country, on why our garbage was delayed one day from pickup. I thought that was the most asinine thing I'd ever heard in my life. Anyway, folks, we're coming to the end of A Handyman's Haven. I appreciate you being with us, and Jeff Prather will be here shortly. Take care.